confess our faith together. It's the believer's great delight to talk about salvation in Christ, confess his name together. We'll use the words of the Heidelberg Catechism to do that. Question and answers 19 and 20. Number 20 is particularly, in a particular way, expressed or taught in the passage we read today from Romans 5. We discovered that the only way to escape God's wrath and return to his favor is through a mediator who's both fully God and fully man. And the only one who meets that description is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has given to us. How do you come to know this gospel of the true mediator? How do you come to know this? Question 19. The Holy Gospel tells me. God himself began to reveal the gospel already in paradise. Later, he proclaimed it by the holy patriarchs and prophets and foreshadowed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, he fulfilled it through his own beloved Son. Are all people then saved through Christ, just as they were lost through Adam? No, only those are saved who, through true faith, are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans 5. We return to the book of Romans, chapter 5. We'll take up the reading at verse 6 and read through verse 21. And our text this afternoon is verses 12 through 21, a long segment, but it really hangs together as one unit, and so I don't want to break it up, and hopefully we can see the clarity of it. Romans 5, beginning to read at verse 6, found on page 1120 in your pew Bibles, page 1120. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there's no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is God's word. May he bless us and build our faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, what do you think? Is it easier to make a mess or clean it up? Is it easier to break something beautiful or to repair it? To shatter a mirror or put it back together perfectly? Which is easier? Which is greater? What's the greater work? To burn down a house or rebuild it? The point of this great, momentous passage in the Bible, Romans 5, 12 through 21, is that the history of the world is dominated by two people, two Adams, the first Adam and the last Adam. The first man, Adam, and the second man, Jesus Christ. And the whole world's population can be divided into those two camps. Those who belong to the first Adam, those who belong to the second Adam. The first Adam influences the world by the power of sin and death. The last Adam, Jesus, influences the world by the power of righteousness and life. That's their legacy. Sin and death, first Adam. Righteousness and life, the last Adam. The question is, which influence, which power is greater? The power of sin and death, is that the greater power? Or is the power of righteousness and life the greater power? Is it the power of the first Adam that's the greater power in this world? Or the power of the last Adam, Jesus? The power of the law or the power of grace? Which is the greater power? And the point of the passage really can be found in 15a. The free gift is not like the trespass. They don't work the same. They don't have the same power. The free gift is not like the trespass. The free gift of grace, of eternal life in Christ Jesus, is abundantly more and abundantly greater than the power of sin and death. It's really important for us to believe that in 2021, where the power of the first Adam, sin, death, curse, darkness, unbelief, hopelessness, despair, seems to be by far the greater power in this world. And the point of Romans 5 is, the superabounding power is the power of the gospel. That's the power that brings you to eternal life. Sin and death no longer reign over you through the gospel if you belong to Jesus. The power to fix something that's broken is far greater than the power to break something that's good. You know that. We experience that in our lives, and that's the point here. So we want to see here the grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that is greater than all our sin. The first Adam and his power of death. And then secondly, the last Adam and his greater power of life. It's a complicated passage. But if you walk carefully through it with me, we'll look at five marks of the power of the first Adam, and then five marks of the greater power of the second Adam, walking through the verses. So, the first Adam. the first Adam, and his power of death. Context. Paul is speaking about the exceedingly great news of justification by faith alone. That God justifies us. He declares us righteous and acceptable to him, right with God. Not through the law, not through our works, not through our accomplishments, not through how good we are, but through faith in Jesus Christ and how good he is. When we believe in Jesus Christ, remember, God does two things. One negative, he doesn't count our sin to us. He counts it over to Jesus, puts it on his record, and our record is made clean. Sin is gone. Forgives us. God forgives us. But the other is when we believe in Jesus, he counts Jesus' righteousness over to us and puts Jesus' righteousness on our record. So we not only have sin removed from the record, but righteousness credited to the record. And when we belong to Jesus by faith, God looks at us and says, you're righteous in my sight. You're perfect in my sight. By your connection to Jesus. That's the good news of justification. And now he expands the lens to the bigger picture of how this works, this miracle of justification works. Because every human being belongs either to the first Adam and his legacy, and is unrighteous in the first Adam, or belongs to the second Adam and his legacy, and is righteous in the second Adam, Jesus. You either belong to Adam's legacy of condemnation or Jesus' legacy of justification. You're connected to the one or the other, not both. You can move from the one to the other. That's what happens when we believe. The Holy Spirit gives you the gift of faith. And he plucks you off the dead tree of Adam, the tree of sin and death. Power just to destroy, the power of wrecking, and transfers you to the tree of Jesus, the power of life, righteousness and life. We have our next slide there. History is really then the story of two representatives. Two representatives. On the one hand, it's the story of Adam and his disobedience, which leads to condemnation and death for his people. So Adam and his disobedience, which leads to condemnation and death for all the people that belong to him. That's the one representative. History is the story also of another representative, Christ and his obedience, which leads to justification and life for his people, the people that belong to him. Those are the two representatives. Or to put it another way, you're united to the first Adam and his record, his work of breaking things. Or you're united to Jesus Christ and his work of fixing things. Guess where the hope is? Which Adam do you belong to? By nature, we all belong to the first Adam, by nature, in ourselves. That's how we're conceived and born. With his sin and condemnation living in us, on our account. He's our representative. As the beginning, the root, and the head of the human family, Adam holds a very special position in God's plan. Adam's special position is that what he did for all his children. Nobody else holds that position in the human race. What he did for his children. Nobody else holds that position except for Jesus, the last Adam. And he holds it in a much more powerful way, the second Adam. But that's Adam's special position. Look at verse 12 of Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, Adam sinned, and death came to him. So death spread to all men because all sinned. So when he sinned and died, all his people sinned and died in him. You see how that works together in verse 12? So he sinned and died. The first Adam, together with his wife Eve, living in that perfect garden, being given the commandment of life. Don't eat from the fruit of this tree, or you'll die. Or obey me and you'll live forever. Commandment of life. And they chose the way of disobedience, of sin. They chose to disobey God, who told them not to eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And tempted by the devil, they decided God was not worthy of their trust. He was trying to hoodwink them, keep the better life from them. So they swallowed the lie of Satan and decided Satan has the better life for us. And they ate the fruit. And God had warned them that if they sinned, they would surely die. And they did. That very day, they died spiritually. Now, Romans 5 describes their death. They were condemned. And later, they died physically too. Eternal death. Separation from God, under his wrath, under his judgment. You will die. And they did. So sin entered the world through that one man. And then death through that sin. He sinned and he died. But says Paul in Romans 5 verse 12, when that happened, we died because we sinned too. What? Were we there? Yes, we were. We were there. Because Adam is the root of the family tree, and we are represented by our root. We were there in principle, you might say. So when Adam and Eve sinned and died, we sinned and died in him. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. When Adam sinned, we all sinned in him. And when he died, we all died in him. And that day, the hope of eternal life was smashed. The mirror was broken in a million pieces. And the world was held under the dominion of the twin powers of sin and death. Hope was lost, was gone in the first Adam. And though a Jewish man might argue to Paul, well, that was just for Adam, but there was no law between Adam and Moses. Since the law wasn't given until Mount Sinai under Moses, and where there's no law, there could be no sin. That's what Paul is answering in verses 13 and 14. Well, Paul says sin was still in the world before the law was given at Mount Sinai. And you know how he can tell? Because death reigned from Adam to Moses. Go to the Genesis 5. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Death reigned between Adam and Moses, even though people didn't have the explicit command. Like Adam and Eve did, don't eat from that tree. And Moses, the Ten Commandments. They didn't have the explicit command. The Gentiles, says Paul in Romans 2, had the works of the law written upon their hearts, so they were a law to themselves. They still had the commands of God. And that's why sin and death continued between Adam and Moses, and then following Moses to now. So in the first Adam, the world is a place where the power of sin and death reign. A place where there's no hope. A place where condemnation and judgment rule the day. A place of separation from God, alienation from him. A place where life is under a curse and all our relationships are broken with God, with each other, the environment, with ourselves. Life is broken. But the free gift, says Paul, is not like the trespass. The free gift is not like the trespass. So we want to look in a moment, what's the free gift like? But let's first look at what's the trespass like. There we have the five pictures. Verse 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Just look at those five pictures. What's the trespass? What does that look like? Verse 15, the trespass brought death. Not just to one, but many died through his trespass. Many died. Death to many. That's what the trespass looks like. Number two, verse 16. The one trespass brought judgment. The judgment that brought God's condemnation. So the trespass not only brings death to many, but judgment of God in the way of condemnation. You're guilty. You deserve to die. Third picture of the trespass. Verse 17, because the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. There's not only death, death ruled. Death was Lord. There's no way out of it. You couldn't escape it. Fourth picture, verse 18, one trespass led to condemnation for all men, not just condemnation for Adam and Eve, but for all their descendants. The whole world is guilty before God and condemned. And then the fifth picture, verse 19, through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. That's the fifth part of the legacy of the trespass. Number one, it brings death to many. Number two, it brings the judgment of condemnation. Number three, it brings the reign of death. Number four, it brings condemnation for all. And number five, it makes the many sinners. Adam's sin made us sinners. Not only because he sinned for us, but we sinned in him. So there, that's the condition of the whole human race, apart from God's grace, apart from Christ. We're sinful, we're dead, we're condemned. There's no life. We're all alike under sin. We're dead in our sins and trespasses, Ephesians 2. Remember Paul's fourfold description of what we were like when Christ came. Remember in verses 6 through 11 or 6 through 10, we were weak when Christ sent his son. Jesus died for the ungodly. We were ungodly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. And while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. And the false teaching of Pelagius does not agree with this. It says we're all born good. We're born free, innocent, sweet. And we sin only because of the bad example. Other people make us sin, but it's not really in my nature, in me. I'm good. Adam's choice was just for himself, not for us. We're not vitally connected to Adam, said Pelagius. We're all islands who stand alone. And that's how people think about themselves in our culture too. I'm good deep down. Bad things just got in the way. Bad circumstances drove me crazy. She drove me to drink. That's not a realistic teaching at all. The Bible's teaching reflects reality much more accurately, that in Adam we're all conceived and born in sin. We're unrighteous. We're ungodly. We're in love with ourselves. God be damned, people be damned. And we're under God's wrath and condemnation. And the whole human race, congregation, is in need of a whole new start, a radical renewal. And that word radical comes from the word root. We need a renewal at the root. Because the first Adam became a poisoned root. And that's our second point. And the other part, the greater part of the good news in Romans 5, God started another root. Sent a last Adam, another Adam, to give a new start to the human race. And the amazing thing is that that Adam, Jesus, actually came as a shoot on the first Adam's tree. What? But by God's miracle, he was a branch without sin. And then he became the root of a new tree. It's an amazing story. Jesus. God gives to the human race a new lease on life, a new hope. To the last Adam and his greater power of life. Now, the first thing to notice about this last Adam is already found in verse 14. He was a type. The first Adam was a type of the one to come. Okay? So, just like the first Adam was created by God as a root and a representative of the human race, so also now the last Adam fulfills that. Jesus Christ was sent by God as a root and representative, holding a very special spot in the human race in this world. Here's a new Adam appointed by God to act on behalf of other people in what he does. Now, in Adam's case, this was bad news that he acted on behalf of his descendants because he sinned and died, and that happened to us when he did it. But in the case of Christ, it's good news that he acted on behalf of his people and what he did because he fixed what was broken by being righteous and obedient to God and prevailing where the first Adam failed. Now, back to verse 15a. Remember, but the free gift is not like the trespass. We saw what the trespass was like. And its power to kill and to condemn and to make us sinners. But the free gift is not like that. No, the free gift is far better than and way more powerful than the trespass. Remember, that's much harder to fix what's broken than to break something good. It's much harder to clean up a mess than to make a mess. It's far superior to come in grace and save the human race than to break the human race. And that's the story of Jesus. Jesus canceled the power of sin and death. He reversed the power of sin and death in his own death and resurrection. And he brought about instead the gift of righteousness and life. He canceled them, he reversed them, and he gave us the opposite so that we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us, as we saw this morning with all that David and his men lost, they got back plus, restoration plus. So the free gift, thank God, is not like the trespass. It's far greater in its power. The power of the gospel is far greater than the power of sin. The power of the gospel to give life, righteousness and life, is far greater than the power of sin to kill. Got to remember that. The free gift is not like the trespass. It's different both in power and in abundance. Those are the two that keep coming up. It's different in power and in abundance. The good news of the gospel is greater than the bad news in both its power and abundance. God's grace is greater than all our sin. The power of salvation is far greater than the power of sin and death. The power of grace is far greater than the power of the law. So let's go through the five things again. There's five aspects to the legacy of sin. the first Adam, but look at the five aspects to the legacy of the last Adam. Starting in verse 15, how is the power of the gospel greater than the power of sin? The power of the last Adam greater than the power of the first Adam. Look at verse 15. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. It's one thing to give death to a sinner. That's the power of a trespass. It brings death. It's one thing to give death to a sinner, but it's far greater to show grace to a sinner, to give the free gift of life to a sinner. Far greater not to give the sinner what he deserves, but to give him the life that he does not deserve. That's far greater, far more amazing. That takes far more power. And then, verse 15, it's still greater yet to give him abounding grace, not just grace. A grace that overflows and never stops flowing, but keeps leading all the way to eternal life. The second aspect of the power of the gospel of the last Adam, verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. You see the difference? The judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. One sin brought the world under death and condemnation. Justification covers many trespasses. So that in our justification, we may know, as Paul says in Colossians 2, that God took the record of what you owe him, the invoice of all your sins, and each one has, say, for this sin, eternal damnation, this one. All those sins, and he nailed them to Jesus at the cross. So condemnation follows one trespass. Justification covers billions and trillions and gazillions of trespasses. It's far greater. That's what he's saying. A third aspect of the superiority of the gospel, the greatness, the greater power of the second Adam. Verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The power of grace is greater than sin because, listen, sin kills, but grace makes alive. Grace gives life. What takes more power? To kill a live person or to make a dead person alive? It's obvious, right? That's what grace does. It overcomes the power of death. That power that rules us and we can't break out of it. It overcomes that. And by making righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus. Fourth, verses 18 and 19. Fourth reason why the power of the last Adam is greater. Verses 18 and 19. He goes on in verses 18 and 19 to say that as one man's trespass made many sinners and led to their condemnation, far greater is the grace of Christ, his one act of obedience in giving up his life for us on the cross, makes us righteous and gives us life. And then the fifth comparison, verses 20 and 21. The fifth aspect, fifth reason that the free gift is not like the trespass. It's far greater. It's abundantly greater. It's much more. Verses 20 and 21. Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What does the law have the power? Does the law have power? Yes. It's got the power. Well, does it have the power to make us better? No. To make us sin less? No. To make us righteous? No. It has power indeed, but for the sinner, it has power only to demand perfection, to accuse us of imperfection, to condemn us, and to kill us. To increase trespass. That's its power. But grace has far greater power, abounding power, to change. To change our record. And to change our destiny. And it is to give us righteousness. That's to change our record so that sin is removed and Christ's righteousness is given to us and we stand perfect before God. Grace has the power to do that. And grace has the power to give us life, to put us on the pathway again where the first Adam and Eve were supposed to go, and they broke that and they lost their way, but eternal life, paradise, perfection. Two things to conclude. Two main things. Number one, if you want to get out of the cycle of sin and death, or the line of sin that leads to eternal death is the way I should say it. If you want hope, you want out of unrighteousness and out of condemnation, there is a way. Run to Christ. The Catechism asks, are all people then saved through Jesus Christ as they were lost through Adam? No, only those are saved who through true faith are grafted into Christ and accept all his benefits. Come to Jesus and God will exchange your unrighteous record for a righteous one and your death for life, eternal life, eternal death for eternal life. Don't stay in your sin. There's a way of escape. Give up on yourself and the power of the first Adam, sin and death. And run to Jesus for righteousness and life. That righteousness that reigns in life and leads you to eternal life, it says. The last thing I want to point out is again where we started. It takes greater power to clean up a mess than to make one, to rebuild something that's been broken than to break it. And in our world, sometimes it seems that the power of breaking and messing is far greater than the power of fixing and restoring. The power of the gospel. And faith sees that there is a power for my life and for this world of restoration. It's a power of grace. It's far greater than my sin. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the free gift is not like the trespass? It's far greater. And it's for you who believe. It's far greater than the power of your sin, which sometimes you feel like it's so powerful, there's nothing you can do. There is nothing you can do about it. But Jesus has done all that is needed to destroy it. Trust in him. Because God's grace is far greater than all our sin. Amen. Lord God, we praise you that in your mercy you saw us, ruled by sin and death, and we couldn't get out of it. We chose it for ourselves, and then we couldn't get out of it. Thank you that in your mercy you sent another Adam to give us a new start, to plant righteousness and life in this world, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to see today that the power of sin in us, which is so strong that we can't break it, will be overpowered by Jesus Christ, who will break it. Give us faith to believe that, not just once, but every day, so that we might live in the joy of salvation and confidence of the greater power of the last Adam, a power that leads to eternal life. Amen.